You are listening to World Cafe. I am Raina Duris. Today, joined by John Morrison. John Morrison is a music journalist, podcast host, and the host of Culture Cypher Radio on WXPN in Philadelphia, where we make World Cafe. And all month long, during Black History Month, John Morrison's stopping by for a weekly series we're calling The Black Roots of Rock and Roll, which looks at how Black artists have influenced and shaped and sometimes invented rock and roll music. John, welcome back to the World Cafe.
Thanks, Raina.
Now, last week, we explored the 40s and the 50s, Sister Rosetta Tharpe, Little Richard. Today, we are heading into the 60s and 70s. Mm-hmm. If you could you kind of give us maybe a broad overview of sort of the broad strokes of what was going on in the 60s and 70s as far as Black artists making rock music?
Yeah, absolutely. The 60s were obviously like highly significant in the history of rock and roll. This is the decade when we got Jimi Hendrix and Sly and the Family Stone. There seems to be this thread of psychedelic rock specifically intermingling nicely with Black music, specifically like R&B and soul. At the time, Motown had a very brief like psychedelic period when they were like the Supremes did a psychedelic record and the Temptations did Psychedelic Shack and all of that stuff. So the music was evolving, becoming even more robust and experimental. And there's so much. It's like, is this episode was difficult for me to kind of cherry pick, you know,
yeah,
three artists, because there was so much happening during that decade to try to, you know, just to sum up.
Well, you did manage to pick three for us. So we're going to start with Sly and the Family Stone, a song called Trip to Your Heart. What can you tell us about this track?
Trip to Your Heart is incredible. It's interesting because it starts out with this really like hazy, trippy cloud of effects before jumping into the main groove, which is the groove of the song is relevant to hip hop because LL Cool J sampled it and used it as the main groove for his song Mama Said Knock You Out.
Before we hear this, why don't we take a listen to that LL Cool J track so we can kind of compare it when we go into this next song?
Yeah, absolutely.
So that was a bit of LL Cool J's Mama Said Knock You Out. All right, John, keep on going. Tell us more about Trip to Your Heart.
Yeah, Trip to Your Heart is you can really feel that Sly and the Family Stone obviously were rooted in R&B and really pioneers of what would become funk, but they also came out of this rich San Francisco music scene of the 1960s that gave us, you know, the Grateful Dead, Big Brother and the Holding Company, Jefferson Airplane. So they're really interesting band. And this song really represents how they kind of straddle that line between what we would traditionally think of as Black music and psychedelic rock, which we would traditionally think of as white music. They were really proficient in fusing the two together and making them play together nicely.
Okay, well, let's take a listen to this. It's Sly and the Family Stone, Trip to Your Heart on World Cafe.
I got a ticket for you. I
be alone. I would let it bug me at all, cause I still love you to see you gain it.
You just heard Trip to Your Heart, Sly and the Family Stone on World Cafe. My name is Raina Duras. I'm speaking with John Morrison today. He's taking us through the black roots of rock and roll. Today, we are in the 60s and 70s. That's the area of time we are listening to, which is a pretty exciting time for music just in general. The next band we're going to hear is Love. What can you tell us about the song you've brought from Love?
Love was an L.A. band from the 1960s. They kind of first got fame playing like really aggressive garage rock. They were founded by Arthur Lee, a black man who's the lead singer, guitarist, and primary songwriter of the band. And a lot of their music does still retain those garage elements, but throughout their career, they kind of branch into psychedelic rock, folk rock, and even in their later records, a kind of like jazz rock fusion sort of thing. And the song I wanted to play is Alone Again, or it's the opener from their 1967 album, Forever Changes, which is really a masterpiece. It's this beautiful string-laden kind of like autumn feeling record. And Love really added a level of nuance and detail to arranging in rock music that, you know, I don't want to say was without precedent at the time, but they really kind of deepened, really from an arrangement and a songwriting standpoint, they really deepened what, you know, the potential of rock music and what folks could do. This band could rock really hard and play like aggressive music, but they were also really good at playing this kind of like beautiful, serene music that Alone Again or really represents.
I mean, I really truly love this song and I'm excited to play it right now. Mm-hmm. This is Alone Again or from Love on World Cafe.
Thank you.
You are listening to World Cafe. That was Love Alone Again, Or. I'm Raina Duras. I'm speaking with John Morrison today, and we are talking about the black roots of rock and roll. Today, we're talking about rock and roll in the 60s and 70s. And the next song that we're going to hear is from Funkadelic, and it's called Hit It and Quit It. And I was wondering if you could tell us what it is about this song that made it one of your must-haves for this list.
Yeah. Funkadelic is obviously the like legends, Parliament Funkadelic, that whole camp. This song really represents how Parliament Funkadelic was really elite at creating like heavy driving rock music. We think of them typically in a funk context. And I know in George Clinton's genius and imagination, Funkadelic was like the rock band, the post Hendrix, post psychedelia rock band aspect. And then Parliament was more, you know, sci-fi and funk and humor and that sort of thing. But the two, you know, would blend together and play together well. But I think that Hit It and Quit It really, really highlights just how good of a rock band Funkadelic really was, and how innovative they were with the form of rock music itself.
He touched on George Clinton there too, and sort of the worlds that he created. And, you know, this was 70s, but George Clinton and things like Parliament Funkadelic have sort of been retroactively credited with starting the Afrofuturism movement, if you want to call it that, I guess. Could you talk about sort of the impact of that sci-fi world, the stage show, the mothership, all that stuff mm-hmm. that George Clinton was talking about, and how maybe that influences stuff that we see now?
Yeah, absolutely. That practice of building this new and different and alternative, very black world. You know, you hear about folks like Sun Ra, Lee Scratch Perry, the writer Greg Tate, you know, and George Clinton is right in that pantheon of Afrofuturism. I don't know anyone who you could consider Afrofuturist that hasn't taken some sort of influence from the worlds that George Clinton built. So it was very much futuristic, focused on outer space and the future and alternative worlds, but also very much grounded in humor, social commentary, that sort of thing. George Clinton is really one of the great geniuses of what would later be called like world building, or yeah. Someone who really out of his own imagination really produced these really rich universes that we can occupy, and that creative people have taken little bits and influences from over the decades.
Let's jump into his world right now. It's Funkadelic, Hit It and Quit It.
Hit it and quit it.
Funkadelic, Hit It and Quit It. You are listening to World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris, talking to John Morrison. He's a music journalist, podcast host, host of Culture Cypher Radio on WXPN in Philadelphia. All month, he's joining me to talk about the black roots of rock and roll. We were exploring the 60s and 70s today, and we heard a lot of, you know, funk and psychedelic music, but there was another genre of rock, a big one, that was really getting revved up around the same time. What can we expect to hear next week as we dive into the 80s and 90s?
Yeah, obviously, punk, you know, kind of exploded onto the scene in 1979, but there's a band in particular from Detroit called Death, who they're, of course, they were a 70s band, but they were really important in charting the course for the future of rock music. So I wanted to include them in the 80s and 90s episode because you really, with Death, you really hear a lot of the echoes of the future of the music and where it's going to go.
I'm really, really looking forward to hearing all of that and to hearing what else you're bringing for us next week. John Morrison, thank you so much.
Thank you, Raina. I really appreciate it.
I'll be back in a moment with more World Cafe.